Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back. I am Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. Now, The Mortgage Voice with myself, Jeff Barton, available on demand and on the air. Anytime you need to find the latest mortgage information, you can find us immediately. Hey, turn on the radio. Tune us in. We are everywhere. We upload the video version of the show every week to YouTube. Just search for The Mortgage Voice. You can also listen to the show upon demand with your mobile device via any podcast partners, Apple, Google, Spreaker, iOClip, Spotify, Stitcher, many more. Please, we are still on the traditional radio circuit. We're on 5 stations, 3 different states. We're all over the place in a number of different markets, including, if not limited to, the Inland Empire, California, Las Vegas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Lake Tahoe. By the way, Malibu Funding, Inc., who is the sponsor for the show, will soon be doing business in Albuquerque as a lender as well, so stay tuned for that. Again, I'm Jeff Barton. Thanks very much for tuning in and joining us for the show. End of the year. We've never done an end of the year show. We never talked about what's happened during the year because the mortgage market in many, many regards this year has remained robust, strong. Rates are awesome. All kinds of terrific things happening in the marketplace which benefit you, the borrower. The unfortunate side of all of this really low interest rate and the low climate is the fact that there's a lot of competition, and if you're trying to buy a house, and you have been trying to buy a house, and you are watching prices increase, by the way, 20% nationally, it's really just kind of unbelievable. But the fact that it has been rising so fast, the real estate prices, and the fact that interest rates are so low, it meant that competition for anything that was good, any great product out there which is priced right in a competitive market with low borrowing rates is going to you're going to get 5 or 10 different offers on every property in that category. And whether it's here in Albuquerque, up in Tahoe region, you know, we have people who have come on the show from every place we do business. And when I say we do business, I mean, again, Malibu Funding Inc. They do business in a lot of different states. Every state that we have it, whether it's down in Georgia, with the Bradford group that comes on and talks about it, whether it's down in Florida or North Carolina. We have Charles Giscombe coming on today who talks about those, as well as the Nevada area that he is in charge of and lends in. We can get down to, you know, there's all kinds of people down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who've been on the show, realtors as well as loan officers, talking about the rates and the difficulty of finding great deals. It has been, like I say, a very tough market this year for first-time home buyers because they don't know what they're getting into and they don't know what the solution is other than, yes, I can afford a loan. The problem is, of course, inventory and what's happening. So I went through a lot of what we have in our research. And one of the things that we back up against the end of the year is we're talking about looking back over a large number of transactions that have occurred throughout the year, which didn't have the constraints that we have on it today. We are looking at, obviously, a higher interest rate climate simply because the Fed has doubled their taper rate. And what I mean by that is they were lowering the amount of mortgage-backed securities as well as the treasuries that they were buying to the tune of 10 billion a month, 5 billion a month. They doubled that amount. Now it's 30 billion a month less than they were buying. Taper is going to end the stimulus package, your quantitative easing program by the Fed, by March. So that's happening. They've also signaled that we're going to get 3 rate hikes. Now, when I say rate hikes, do not confuse that with mortgage rates. These are borrowing rates that member banks borrow from the Fed, money printed by the Fed and Treasury. And it's funny, people will talk about, you know, the federal government printing money. The Fed itself is not a part of the federal government. It is a quasi-governmental agency, which is really head of both monetary policy and the amount of money when they get together with the Treasury Department, they decide how much money to print. That has been happening as well, and also part of the reasons that inflation is going so high. The stimulus money, the amount of money that's been printed, the amount of money available in markets, yes, that's part of the reason why we have so much inflation, right? Okay. But the real issue here for us is about what the rate is, can I afford it today, and are there properties to be able to buy in my price range? All of these things that have been affected during the year are going to get worse next year because money is going to be more expensive. Housing prices, although they're going to modulate, they're not going to rise at 20%, but you might see 5 or 6%. Those particular house prices and how that is affecting how you can buy, it's going to hurt the market, right? I mean, if you're out there and you've been struggling this year to find a house and rates go up and the housing market still is going up, guess what? You're going to have a tough year next year too. So we look at different cities, different opportunities. We have a lot of, because Omicron is affecting the market here in the United States as well as many other countries in the world, and there's divergent paths to how, just like in our own country, we have kind of a consensus, right? We know that masks work. We know that vaccines work. Granted, we have 60, 70 million people who just say, oh, forget it, I'm not doing it. But there is 210 to 220 million people who said, no, I think this is the way to go. So that's a consensus. It's not it's a majority, but it's not, certainly the majority that's needed in order to get this particular issue behind us so that we can cut. Anyway, it's affecting the markets. It's affecting the real estate markets. It's affecting the way you work. It's affecting how companies want to have you come back, but yet they can't have you come back. So stay at home looks to be here for a while, not only here, meaning where I'm sitting today, but in the U.S. So what and how that affects. So if you're able to look at that and say, okay, I don't need to go to my office every day. I can go live somewhere where the property values are cheaper. Not necessarily less expensive, but cheaper than they are in the area that I'm currently working because I have to commute to work. That's an issue that I think has been playing out for the last 18 months. And as a result, you have cities like Albuquerque. I mentioned it. You have cities like Tucson. You have cities like Raleigh. You have cities like Nashville. Smaller cities in the U.S., which traditionally have followed the market. But because of the influx of out of state, out of area, out of city, buyers has really driven the market up in all of these areas. And that has affected, obviously, the locals not being able to buy. Everybody likes to see, everybody who owns a home wants to see property values increase. Anybody who doesn't own a home says, I can't afford it. What's the result of all this? The result of all this is that, yes, 2022 is going to be a tough year. Yes, it is. Lots of aspirated T's right there. But I can just tell you, it's going to be tough probably through 2023. Yeah, that's about what we're looking at down the line. And we're looking at the way rates and how they're adjusting to the either the pandemic or what's happening in Russia or what's happening in China. And all of these things are affecting what's going on with the bonds, the 10-year especially. And I want to talk about that in the next segment that I have, just to give you an idea. Treasuries have remained very stable. And what I mean by stable is between half a point and 1.5 points for the last 2 years since COVID. Now, that's pretty stable when you consider the volatility that's really been out there, both in income, in employment, in mortgage payments, how the federal government has handled it. You have seen that particular number really stay steady, especially in the last 3-4 months. We've been between 1.3% and 1.7%. Now, if we're talking in terms of billions, yes, there's money, obviously, to be made or lost. But if you're talking in terms of how that affects the mortgage rate, it really hasn't, because we've seen mortgage rates really vacillate somewhere between 2.75 on a 30-year fix all the way up to where 3.25. Where are they today? Almost 3.25, 3.17. So those things have remained steady and remained constant. Now, in today's show, we're going to bring on a couple of old favorites that have been on the show many times, veterans in the business, and I'm going to ask them all these same questions. Where are we headed? Why is the market reacting so strongly to inflation by hurting mortgage buyers? And is the rates rising better for some and not great for others? Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice for the mortgage industry. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Hello and welcome back. This is Jeff Barton. I want you to check out our website at themortgagevoice.com. There you can find our latest on-demand episodes of The Mortgage Voice, information about our guests as well, their contact information. Look, you're going to see the show. If you go to YouTube, you hear the show from the radio stations to the podcast. You're going to want to have the information about how to contact the guest on the show. That's where you want to go. You want to go to episodes of The Mortgage Voice and information about our guest as well as their contact information. And you can see that on YouTube as well as themortgagevoice.com. You can also read my blog, which keeps you updated with the very latest mortgage news. Hey, check it out. Bookmark us. That's themortgagevoice.com. And again, Jeff Barton, thanks very much for tuning in. Okay, we're at kind of a year-end look back and look forward. One of the things that we try to do is stay on top of the daily. You know, I haven't had on either LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, some of the social media outlets that I frequent and with my Mortgage Minute, for about the last week. And one of the reasons is, like everyone else, this time of the year is made more crazy because of the fact that you've got people that are coming to town or you are trying to build a holiday, something, and it takes a lot of time. And in my case, where I work at Malibu Funding, there's office parties, there's things that you want to make sure that you get to everybody that works for you and thank them for the great year that they have. And by the way, the mortgage industry has had two stellar years, not great years, stellar years, like historically stellar years. We've seen some amazing things in the mortgage space this year, and I don't know if that can be repeated, but we'll see. But anyway, so getting back to me and how it's, so I've not been able to really get to the shows I want to do, because they too take time. And I think at this time of the year, when you've got all that extra pressure on you and there's a lot of tension, you want to do it, but again, there's a lot of tension. You just got to give yourself a big hug and a big thanks and a big, good job. All of that's important. It's important for you. You're sitting out there, you're trying to get that home, you haven't been able to get it into, because you either can't find something you want to buy or you can't find, the way to pay for it. It's okay. It'll happen. And believe me, it'll happen. There's a lot of housing coming down the pipe, and these prices cannot be sustained forever. Now, if you can wait, you want to build a nest egg, that'll help on your down payment. You're obviously going to pay less in your interest rate the more down payment you have. So there are some silver linings to these things, even if it isn't at right now immediate to what you want to do. I have a son who lives up in Seattle. I have another son who lives in Chicago. Daughter lives out in Boston. And all of them have been complaining about the difficulties to find even rentals in a price range closer to where they either work. In the case of one of my kids, just got out of college. So one of my sons said, okay, I've got to move, and I want to move further away because I need more space. I'm working, obviously, remotely. I need, he's in the video game business, and I don't even know if they call it that anymore, but regardless, that's what he does. He's in a certain company that, up in Seattle, and they do a great job. So he needs more space, so they want to move out. So they have to move another 5 additional miles away from the city of Seattle. Now, I think, in large measure, young people can do things like that, get up and move. When you are trying to start a family or you're a career person and you're really tied to wherever it is you're living, whether it's in the city or whatever, you've got to choose your housing very carefully because obviously you want to be close enough if you have to commute to work. And a lot of places have gone to the hybrid model, right? You're home a couple days, but you got to go in a couple days too, at least 4 or 5 days a month and, have your face shown. And, there is a lot to be said for inter-office communications when you're all there and there's a team effort and, everybody's got a place. I happen to like it. I like it when everybody comes to work. But we've got, even at where I work, a lot of people work remote. Probably 90% of the people don't come to the office ever. And so it's a smaller company. But at the same time, I understand what's going on out there for many people who want a house, who can't afford it, who are looking for some solution, and it's just not available right now. Time is on your side. These things do not last forever. COVID's not going to last forever, which has really been ruling a lot of the market, as everyone knows. Whether it's showings, whether it's listings, whether it's how you list, whether it's how you interact with people, whether it's your mortgage broker, your real estate agent, your inspectors that you have to get out there if you do end up buying. A lot of this is really affecting the marketplace. And because of that, we are not quite sure what's going to happen next year with showings and with everything else, especially with Omicron coming on. You know, you hear the stories about how it's going to affect much more than it did with Delta. And then on the opposite side, you hear, oh, it's nothing more than a slight flu if you're vaccinated. So, like I say, it's a tough year. It's the end of the year. We're here now, and we want to plan for the future. Let's look at a few things that we normally look at in the news to use section. 3.17 is the 30-year fixed rate loan. 2.53 is the 15-year. 2.75 is FHA. 3.08 is our jumbo loan. Now, jumbo product's been like that for 7 months. It's been nowhere, anything between 3.0 to 3.23. And that's where that jumbo has really remained. It's pretty stellar product. 3.02 for the 5-1 ARM. And the 10-year yield is at 1.46. And that, again, is another indication that what's happening in the taper has not really affected. And as we talked about it before, what's happening is that with the volatility of COVID, with the new Omicron, with what's happening in China with Evergrande and the entire property sector, which, by the way, as I have predicted, even though it's not in the news and you got to look for it, if you do look for it, you will see that entire property sector has gone to, it's in trouble, and it may drag the entire economy down. They're looking right now because not only is building stopping in many of the major projects, million units still unfinished, but that all of the ancillary companies that are feeding into that business, which drives the economy in China, whether it be cement, whether it be steel, whether it be glass, whether it be wood, whether it be nails, whether it be you name it. If you're in the building business, you know what I mean. Here in the U.S., we've seen prices skyrocket but then come back down. Well, in a place like China where the demand has tapered off because they can't get financing for these 25 or so real estate behemoths who really run that industry, that means that the price for all of those commodities is falling and will continue to fall until they get that squared away. And what China is doing about it and how they're handling it is really going to be we'll see if their particular government did any better. And you may not call it their Lehman moment, but that's what everybody is looking at. If Evergrande, like many of the others, and we're talking huge dollar amounts, maybe up to half $1 trillion in borrowed money, especially on dollar bonds, which are foreign loans are put into, that's really going to affect the economy's ability. So they're predicting that the Chinese economy may be low single digits in terms of growth next year. And for a country like China, who has really for the past 10 years been 10 double-digit growth rates, 10-plus percentage points on a yearly basis, sometimes as high as 15-16%, this would be a disaster. And how they get through it is going to be very, very interesting. The Olympics are coming up in China. There's a lot going on there. So if all of these things here that you hear and see are driving interest rates and why the 10-year is still at 1.46, some had predicted it would be almost up to 2 points by now. It's slower. It's going to be slower. There's a lot of money out there that the federal government here in the U.S. Plus, you can imagine around the world with this virus, which has affected every economy in the world severely. I mean, we think we have it bad here because inflation is at 6%. You go to some places where, it's not inflation. It's products don't exist. You can't get anything. You it's not supply side. It's no side. You don't get anything ever. And countries that we're trying to, the country that we just left, Afghanistan, prime example. They're trying to get released monies that the U.S. government is holding on. It's a few billion dollars just to be able to feed their country. They're talking 40 to 60% of the country lives day by government handouts. So there's a lot going on. I appreciate you listening. This has been so far a terrific year, and I assume that the year end will be also awesome. I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. You know, our show is available wherever you need information, even if it is right away. If you need it right now, it can fit your busy schedule. We make it easy to watch or listen to the show. Find our episodes on demand from our website at themortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice, and our Mortgage Minutes and weekly program always available at YouTube. Go to YouTube. It's a great place to see hundreds of shows. Podcast form for wherever you get podcasts, including Apple, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclaps.io, Spotify, and more. Check our website out, themortgagevoice.com. Thanks for listening to the show. I'm Jeff Barton again, and with us again today is one of our stalwarts who has come to us again today to give us a steady hand into what's happening next year. As I was talking to her off air, it was a little bit... we're not quite sure. Anyway, Connie Hernandez from PMA, thanks very much for joining us. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. And as that intro sounded, at least to me, that it's unsure what's going to happen in the market next year, other than rates are going to go up some and properties are still going to be hard to come by.
Well, I see that now. I don't know if you're seeing it out in your area. I'm out in the San Gabriel, Riverside, and Orange County areas. Mm-hmm. I do see a little bit of slowdown. It could possibly be, obviously, the holidays, and people are a little bit more focused on seeing family and spending time with family. But even so, you know, been in the industry close to 30 years now, and my holidays are always busy. You know, people are still want to close before the end of the year. I have seen a trend. I don't know if you see the same, but there's a lot of people selling property right now, moving their assets to Florida and other states. That seems to be a popular thing that's going on right now, and obviously a lot of that has to do with if you're a landlord, you know, you don't always have things falling in your favor. So it makes it difficult to be a landlord in California right now.
Yeah,
so that's something that's happened quite a bit.
They see the population draining from California still going on. It happened to the tune of about 1 million people over the last 10 years during the from what the census said. I don't know what it's happening, but I do see that. And I guess it doesn't lessen the demand, though, on housing that exists.
No.
Do you see any new housing coming online out there?
Well, you know, I have heard quite a few. Prior to being a specialist in the residential area, 10 years of my earlier career in this business was in new construction. And there are so many incentives out there for developers right now to get on the ball and do some, you know, some planning for affordable housing. There's a lot of grants that are available. There are cities that are actually, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in my area, there are cities that have been given deadlines and are going to be fined if they don't come up with ways for, you know, incentivizing first-time home buyers and also incentivizing those people that can do the ADU units because the housing is such a desperate thing right now that's needed. And you know, the people that I see that are staying in California, those people that are, you know, just homeowners, most of the people I see moving out, it usually are people that own multiple properties or smaller apartment complexes where, you know, it's just kind of not affordable for them to be regulated the way they're being regulated. But as far as housing is concerned, I do see there's a great need in our area for it. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of what used to be called in the, you know, back in the day, HUD housing going on.
Right.
HUD developments going on. So,
right.
You know, until I think they step up and do that type of development, I think there's still going to be a big need for it.
What are some of the products that you're finding your borrowers looking towards now? Are they in the traditional 30-year? Are they in the non-QM, what they call non-QM? Is it FHA mostly? What are you lending on?
Well, FHA is always going to be there. It's still popular because it's the least expensive way to get into a home if you have any kind of challenges with credit. Conventional is still there for those professionals that, you know, really show an income, and I'm talking, you know, professionals that are being paid W-2s. Self-employed, I do see a lot more non-QM products out there. And, you know, something that's happening is sometimes even though people may have the income to show, they just don't want to deal with the paperwork or the length it takes to close the conventional loan right now. So they take the easier route. The rates are aggressive. They're not going to compare to your conventional conforming rates, but they're willing to take a little bit higher rate if they're not having to go through a longer escrow and provide, you know, dozens of documentation, which is the norm right now.
Right. So that sounds to me like you're thinking, and I agree with you, that lending guidelines have not gotten easier. They've gotten a little tougher.
Yes. On the conventional side, right. Most definitely.
Right. Yes. Right. And it really pushes people into a product like a non-QM, even though the non-QM is still priced well. And as you say, it's easier to get into. I think there's, you know, the debt service stuff, there's the bank statements, there's, you know, I-10 properties, all kinds of things you might be able to get into that's a little bit easier, a lot easier than conforming type rates. And as you said, you don't have to provide the amount of documentation that you do to qualify for a conventional conforming rate.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I see where it's taking us longer now to get a file process on conventional conforming, even if it's not a jumbo product or high balance product. It's regular conventional conforming loan, decent credit, you know, even some reserves. It still takes us longer because it's just we're having to really cross our T's, dot our I's,
right,
and have everything ready because we will get conditioned after the fact. And, you know, obviously that prolongs us. So now for your refis, people will be a little patient, but, you know, we don't have that kind of time on purchases. So
right,
sometimes if they're being competitive out there, because there's still a lot of competition to obtain a property right now, they'll say 20-day escrow. Well, you're not going to close a normal conventional loan in 20 days. So you may on a non-QM product. Again, less documentation, it's a little bit easier process. So they're trying to get that property, so they are offering shorter escrows. And to meet those deadlines, they're going with non-QM products.
Well, that's interesting you're saying that. So you're thinking that in the non-QM world, it's a little bit quicker because there's less documentation and there's less need to really, I guess, get all the things that they would need in the conventional loan.
Almost definitely.
I can
tell you I had a two-month bank statement program.
Okay.
Which my client has the corporate tax returns, has personal tax returns, which are strong. But he just did not feel like he wanted to give up his corporate tax returns and have a CPA do a letter and, you know, go through all those hoops that he'd gone through in the past. He went with the higher rate, 2 months bank statements. We closed in 15 days.
Oh, that's excellent. No, closing quick on any kind of purchase is almost better than, you know, because you can always refi it if the rates go down again into a conventional loan.
Correct.
Because you have the time.
Mm-hmm.
But on a purchase, no way. And if you can compete on the basis of closing quicker, that really makes quite a bit of difference, especially in a competitive marketplace.
Well, I think that's what's driving these programs, that there is a lot of competition to close or offer to close sooner than the 30 days. And I think that's honestly, in my experience, that's what it's been, that they're willing to take a little higher rate as long as they're not going to lose that property and they can meet that deadline. Because I don't know if you see that with other offices that you're working with, but in my case, they're not giving extensions anymore. It will be very rare that if you don't meet your deadline to close an escrow that they will give you an extension.
Huh, that's interesting. I have seen some stress on a bunch of loan officers' faces, so I would say yes, that's probably true. But we've run out of time here. Could you please tell people how they might be able to get in touch with you and maybe a little bit about where you work?
Thank you, Jeff.
Sure.
Yes, absolutely. I'm in downtown Covina, 101 North Citrus, right on the corner of Badillo and Citrus is my office. I've been in the industry quite some time. Happy to answer any questions anyone may have, whether it's refinancing, doing a reverse loan. That seems to be very popular right now. If you're looking to get pre-approved for a purchase of a property or just have general questions in any of those subject matters, feel free to call me. My name is Connie Hernandez. I can be reached at area code 626-422-2017.
Connie, thank you very much. Good information, and I appreciate it. And also, you know, I've got to get together with you at some point and say hey and maybe have a glass of something. And anyway, Happy New Year. Merry Christmas to you.
That sounds great.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you too, Joe.
Thanks, Connie. That's Connie Hernandez from PMA. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. You know, our show is available anywhere and everywhere you need it, on demand and right now. Everybody's got a busy schedule, right? But we've got ways that you can listen to the show. You can go to your phone. You can go to the computer. You can go to, I don't know, Carrier Pigeon. If you want to listen to the show, go to many of our podcasts. We have a number of them, whether it's Stitcher or Spreaker or Apple or Google or podclips.io. We certainly are also on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and see the show, click on that you like the show. All of these things have the ability for you to sign up as a member and be alerted to exactly when we're doing our next show and when you can pick it up. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice, and I really appreciate you listening. It is the holiday season. I know you got a ton of things to do. That's why we bring on the best people at the end of the year. And to that end, Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding, Nevada, and a number of other spots is joining us now. Charles, how are you?
Outstanding, and happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you, Chuck, and happy holidays to you, too. Okay, so let's dive right in. The holidays brings with it a lot of extra stress in no time. So people who are looking to close loans today in December, what are their chances if they get into something that they can close by the end of the year? And what are you telling your clients in terms of how the market is heading and where it's going to go?
Great question. I was just dealing with a bank today, and they were telling me we have some loan docs going out, but we can't do them till Monday because they have 60 closings that are occurring for the next 2 days. So they're like, hey, listen, you can get them out on Monday. So it's a lot of rush to get funding. A lot of people are fearful because usually going into the Christmas holiday,
right,
people usually sag that over all the way over into New Year's. And so you might not actually get any work done until the New Year comes. But that's not with us. We always work through, Jeff. That's how we've always been.
Yep.
If someone's working, we'll be working right there with them.
Yeah, I
tell my client.
Go on.
That's what I tell my client. If somebody's working, we can work it.
Right.
That's
a good way to put it, because obviously, you know, at Malibu Funding, the company you work for and the company I work for, you know, they have the ability to close their own loans in their own warehouse line, but they also are wholesale brokers. So it really depends on, a lot of times, people that you have no control over. And that's the thing in this business. It's not like in the real estate world where you just have you have the seller, and you have your agents. In the lending world,
correct,
there's a crowd of people that have to get involved.
Absolutely, Jeff. There are many, many people, many, many team members that I like to say that are responsible for the beginning to end process of a transaction. And so we rely on them. And that's why we truly appreciate them, especially this time of year and all year round. We really appreciate them because it's a lot of hard work and effort for individuals from a title standpoint, insurance agents,
yeah,
processors,
right,
underwriters, all these different individuals that are involved in the transaction from beginning to end, the real estate agents, so many different pieces to the puzzle. We really appreciate them so much. And like you said, we want them to be in the best possible position they can be in, because with a clear mind and everything moving forward for them, we can help ourselves and our clients especially get their deals done.
You know, we're dealing with a lot of different issues worldwide. Not only that, COVID just seems to not go away, and it really affects people long-term, their mental health, and how they approach it daily. When you're talking to clients, especially clients who have been competing for a house, who've been trying to get out there, and you're saying, look, once you get something, I can get that loan closed, and here's a pre-approval letter that says that I can do that. How are you dealing with all of that external pressure, especially when you're on a time schedule to try to get that loan closed?
Great question, Jeff, man. You know what? I always tell them everything is a process. Before COVID, pre-COVID, post-COVID, it's all a process. Right now, I try to take the more positive approach and let them know that people are working from home. So don't ever think that you just have this amount of time to get stuff done. People are getting stuff done. A lot of people are functioning and are very capable from their at-home settings. So don't get frustrated. Let your real estate agent get out there. Find out what you can do. One thing that you do have to take into consideration with COVID in regards to these situations is value, because sometimes it's hard to get an appraisal done, especially when there's COVID going on, because there's no entry.
Right.
You have to keep distance. There's a whole bunch of different stuff that plays effect. The one thing that's great about our industry is that we're able to all work remotely from where we are. So the work is not going to be affected. So I always tell them, stay positive with that, because individuals are set up at home, and this is how they probably will be for the duration of their working in the industry until things completely slow down and mellow out, stabilize in regards to the pandemic and COVID. But you still get done. We'll still make it happen. Just have confidence and faith. And you get out there. Have your agents get out there looking at properties. Take the pre-approval letter. Let's keep moving it, because once you do get into a situation, barring the other things that happen, we can get a deal done. I just try to tell them it's a process, and we'll walk with them and work with them the whole way through.
That's good, because, you know, in especially this time of year with all the extra pressures because of the holidays, and everyone gets kind of squirrely anyway, there's a lot of buyers and sellers who just lose their minds and start yelling and screaming. I had a couple incidents this week, and it reminds you that, you know what, we're in not only a service business, but we're in a business of trying to assure people that not only is their loan going to close, but we're the ones that can get it done, so let's work together. And that's a tough place to be, because, you know, anything short of that, the client's going to walk.
You know what, Jeff? We deal with it all the time. I think you and I have a crazy disgruntled agent for working with the buyers. And sometimes what we have to do is we have to say, hey, listen, we got to slow the process down, and we have to let them know. As much as we like to help people, we're not working, and we don't pay our bills by good looks alone.
Right, right.
So obviously we're working really hard.
Yeah, our incentive is the money. Let's, you know, I mean, everybody wants to work to get paid so that they can do what they got to do. Right, that's exactly right.
Exactly. It's about the money. And mm-hmm. So just as important it is for you to get this done, for the sellers to sell their homes, for the buyers to get into a home, for the real estate agent on the buyer's side, for the seller's agent, and us as Malibu Funding, providing financing for these situations. It's all super important that everybody keep their cool and remain calm. Because at the end of the day, the frustration will have us not thinking clearly. And my thing is, this is Murphy's Law. Everything that can and will go wrong in a transaction. And problems always happen, Jeff. And I always tell my clients, it's how quickly and effectively we resolve them that'll get us to the finish line quicker. So the saying goes, cooler heads prevail, and it's absolutely correct. Sometimes you have to push a button here, too, to get people to get to it or to get something taken care of. But at the end of the day, if we can be cool, we can get a situation done. And one thing I love about Malibu Funding, and that is every agent, every person I've ever talked to, every loan officer, everybody understands that our clients are the most important thing to us. So we will take the extra step to walk them through just to make sure they know we will do everything to get them to the finish line.
Hey, Chuck, we have 2 minutes left. Give us your take on programs. Where are we? What's popular? And what do you think is going to be popular through the new year?
You know what, Jeff? We have been fortunate enough at Malibu Funding to be closing traditional loans, meaning conventional and FHA loans. We have been fortunate enough that we have a whole warehouse line, and as well as we're brokering non-QM loans, and commercial loans, whatever it is across the board, it's the bank statement loan. We have all these programs at our fingertips. I am blessed to say I work at Malibu Funding. Jeff has done a phenomenal job opening up the palette for loans so that we can get all types of things, and any kind of buyer can get a loan in here no matter what your financial structure is. And so I've been closing them all, Jeff. I am just, like I said, blessed to be at Malibu Funding, blessed to be at a place that understands the out-the-box thinking. And we are a company that firmly believes that we try to find reasons to get deals done and not try to find reasons not to be deals. And that is why Malibu Funding, even in the pandemic, has been as successful and has been as active as we've been. And I hope to continue to do that from now and into the new year, Jeff.
Excellent. Okay. Hey, listen, do me a favor. Let people know how they can get in touch with you. The agent, really, Charles, can really do loans almost anywhere that Malibu Funding does them. How can they get in touch with you, Chuck?
You can get in touch with me at 702-328-5191. That's 702-328-5191. Or you can reach me at charles@malibufunding.biz. That's charles@malibufunding.boyisaaczimmitt.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Jeff, always a pleasure to be on the show. And once again, everybody, happy holidays.
That's Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for listening to the show, tuning in each and every week. I really appreciate it. And all the different places that you can hear and see us. Check out the website, of course, mortgagevoice.com. It's terrific. The people that put that website together did so with you in mind. You're the people who listen and view the show, whether it's on YouTube or whether it's through the radio stations. These are the places where you can get caught up on what's happening in the mortgage industry. You can find our latest in-demand episode of The Mortgage Voice, information about our guests, as well as their contact information. You can always read my blog, of course. Keeps you updated with the very latest in mortgage news. Check it out and bookmark us, mortgagevoice.com. We've had a couple of interesting guests on the show today, and the show has really been a more of a touchy-feely show, not so much about programs today, simply because this time of year, people need reassurance, and reassurance in the mortgage business means, hey, we're professional, we know what we're doing, we've done this for, the company's over 22 years old, so knowing what we're doing, how we're doing it, yet more at Malibu Funding is important. But knowing that the guests we bring on who are not all from Malibu Funding, whether it's Connie Hernandez or a multitude of guests that come on the show, are only doing so because I trust and believe in what they say and do. And that's important, especially this time of year. You got too much and a lot going on, and you don't need to worry about that mortgage or that refinance. I just had during the show a text from a friend of mine talking about should they lock? They have this one-time relock rate that they can do on the current loan that they have, and they are being offered a 2.75 30-year fixed. And I said, lock it. Don't wait. What are you waiting on? That's a smoking rate right now. I mean, even at the best of times, that was probably close to the best 30-year fixed rate loan you could get. So we are trying to do exactly that. And as the professionals that we are in charge of how housing is viewed and how easy people can get in or get out of housing. The federal government, who runs Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, or quasi so, they put great restrictions on those types of loans. However, in the non-QM space, the non-governmental space that the government doesn't buy the mortgage-backed securities or the mortgages themselves, there are a lot of different options. And those companies that are hooked into either private funds or sovereign funds or hedge funds or, you know, insurance company money, all of these type of companies are looking for loan products that are not 30-year fixed rate conventional loans, but are looking for a little bit better return, and they get that with the rate. So they are eager to do those type of loans. And without a company or a loan officer or somebody behind you who knows that kind of stuff, there is no chance you're going to feel assured or really comfortable with somebody that says, yeah, I think we can get it done. No, we can get it done. Getting it done is really the most important thing. The most important aspect is not only to sound like you can do it, but then, of course, doing it. This year, the company has done fairly well in terms of the numbers and in terms of the lack of really not being able to do a loan. There has been a lot of opportunity for borrowers to get into homes on several different products, whether it be bank statements, whether it be TIN numbers, whether it be reverse mortgages, conventional, certainly 5/1 ARMs, FHA deals. All of these types of loan programs are available, and they're available to you if you know and when you qualify. Finding loan officers. Look, if you go to MalibuFunding.net, the site just got refurbished. If you go on your phone right now, you can see the site. It really works quite well. You can go to the section about loan officers. There's got to be 30, 40 loan officers there. Many more to come. The company has really expanded this year, its loan officer base. But all of those people who you can get in touch with from that particular website will be able to help you get any of these different types of products, whether it be ones that we broker or whether it be ones that we fund. We have many different investors on the core side, and the core side simply means that the investors buy loans that Malibu Funding originates and underwrites. And those types of advantages to you give you options, and options are really what you need. You don't want somebody to say, this is what you got to do. You need somebody to say, hey, here are your options. And that type of company and salesperson who is not a cookie cutter sitting behind a desk just churning loans, this is somebody who takes your situation into consideration and says, hey, look, this loan may not be the best for you. Maybe you should take a look at this, and maybe these three or four different loans that I'm going to show you, we can sit down and talk about what the advantages and disadvantages are to each product, and you can choose something that really helps you. That takes an experienced person who's been in the business for many, many years. And because the company, Malibu Funding, only hires people who've been experienced. The company, as I said, been around 22 years. Most everybody has got at least 5, if not 10 years experience. And that type of experience allows the loan officer to be comfortable with offering different products, not just necessarily because it's the only one they know. No, they know them all. And that's the important thing in any loan officer that you choose, whether it's Malibu or whether it's Option or whether it's a best rate funding, or there's many, many different mortgage brokers out there that can help you in the many different states that I happen to do business in, the 14 states or so. Anyway, okay, so let's get to a couple other things before we're out of time here. Okay, four different things that are going to happen in 2022. And I got this from a newsletter called Market Watch, and Market Watch is published almost daily. They have great rates. Now, some of these places that I get information, you have to pay. It's a pay for, you know, viewing or pay for the information. Anyway, that particular site, here are the four things. Okay, mortgage rates will rise. Duh, who doesn't know that? I mean, anybody who's got a third grade education can tell you mortgage rates are going to rise. That's just an inevitable sign of ending of taper and the rates, the lending rates that the member banks get either at the discount window or through whatever they borrow from the Fed or the Treasury, rates are going to rise next week. So obviously the mortgage interest rates are going to rise as a result. Number two, home prices will rise. Yes, that's another duh. However, not as fast. Now, we saw this year up to 20% in some cities, the price of real estate. But for the most part, we will only see probably 5% or less next year. Now, normal up and down is like 3%. 3% up, 3% down. And we'd like to stay within that window. Why? Because it's predictable and it doesn't price people out of the market. And that's really the most important thing. We don't want to price people out of the market by having real estate prices go too high. That's really what's happened. Although, because the money has been cheap and because the money has been plentiful and because people have been able to, you know, maintain their standard of living through the government stimulus packages, rising prices hasn't hurt as bad, but they will this year as a result of all that stuff getting reversed. Number three, fewer bidding wars. Yes, that's an important thing. If you're a real estate buyer and you're out there competing on the marketplace, first thing you need somebody to tell you you are approved for a loan, and you need to have them put that in writing, and you need to have specifics around that. Credit score, income, the ability to repay. All these things are very important when you're putting it in a mortgage approval letter. We used to say you could burn that mortgage approval letter because it didn't mean anything. Well, if you get the right approval with the right documentation to back it up, it does mean something. It means you can close within 30 days, and that's extremely important. And number four, housing inventory is limited, but not as bad as it is in 21. I think that's true, too. I think because prices have risen so high, you're finding less and less people able to afford the house, especially next year when we see rates rise. We've already seen rates rise a half a point this year. We will continue to see that unless world events dictate otherwise, and we've talked about that in the show. Let's say Russia invades Ukraine. Let's say Chinese real estate sector pulls the entire economy down. Then you will see a flight to the U.S. Treasuries, in which case you will see the actual interest rate, mortgage interest rate drop. But barring that, and those are two things to watch, I think what we will see is the housing inventory pretty much stay the same or get a little bit better because of the rising interest rates, be fewer buyers to buy and therefore more houses on the market. Even if we are at the same steady rate that we have been in terms of bringing property to the market. Okay, the forbearance, interesting. Forbearance finally below 1 million. That means 1 million people, a little less than 1 million people are still in forbearance. Even though we know forbearance has ended, these people have yet to exit the program. So what happens to those 1 million houses or 1 million properties? Are they going to get foreclosed on? Are the banks going to try to refinance them? Are they just going to tack on what they owe to the rest of the loan and let them pick up where they're funding right now, where they're paying right now? Those are things that need to be worked out and sorted out. I think that is the way to go. That is actually what China is doing with Evergrande. They're trying to keep it local. So if a local area is, yes, they're owned by Evergrande, but it's the people in the area of the city or town that they're in that have to really deal with it, and that's the localization of the problem. Yes, Lend Up out of business. Okay, right. Lend Up, a company which is in sort of a multi-tiered, multitasking company, has going out of business. The CFPB, Rohit Chopra, has just given them the cease and desist order. Okay, that's all the news to use today. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Sorry we're out of time. I wish we could talk a little bit more about that. But we'll see you next time, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.